and want to thank Nanda Navadvip Prabhu and our young Medanga artist, Pata Sharati, who has charmed the hearts of the Radha Raman Goswamis yesterday, that they have come. Kunyabhihari Teya Radha Madhava Kunyabhihari Pirana Vallava Giri Varadhadi Pirana Vallava Giri Varadhadi Chasadanandana Vraja Janarandana Chasadanandana Vraja Janarandana Yamuna Tira Vanachari Yamuna Tira Vanachari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunya Vihari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunya Vihari Prabhu Parajaya 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 Jaya Gauranitai, Jaya Gauranitai, Gauranitai, Gauranitai. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna.
Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Premanandi Hari Hari Bol Srila Prabhupada ki jai Te de sirare Sha Te de sirare They do in Vrindavan, no? We will hear today the Bhagavad Gita, Shloka 529. Please repeat after me. Bhoktaram Yakya Tapasam Sarva Loka Maheshwaram Suridam Sarva Bhutaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Let us now try to read line by line. Bhoktaram yakya tapasam Sarvaloka Maheshwaram Suridam Sarvabhutanam Gyatvamam Shantim Ritchati. Bhoktaram, the beneficiary, a person in full consciousness of me, knowing me to be the ultimate beneficiary of all sacrifices and austerities, the Supreme Lord of all planets and demigods, and the benefactor and well-wisher of all living entities, attains peace from the pangs of material miseries. Purport. The conditioned souls within the clutches of illusory energy are all anxious to attain peace in the material world. Do you want to have peace? Yes. It is a great desire, isn't it? Shanti. Shanti Baba. But they do not know the formula for peace, which is explained in this part of the Bhagavad Gita. The greatest peace formula is simply this. Lord Krishna is the beneficiary in all human activities. That really means that all human activities should be performed for Lord Krishna's benefit. Huh? Man should offer everything to the transcendental service of the Lord, because it is He who is the proprietor of all planets and the demigods thereon. No one is greater than Krishna. Krishna is greater than the greatest of the demigods, Lord Shiva and Lord Brahma. In the Vedas, Svetashvatara Upanishad, the Supreme Lord is described as Tam Ishvaranam Paramam Maheshvaram. Under the spell of illusion, living entities are trying to be lords of all they survey, but actually they are dominated by the material energy of the Lord. The Lord is the master of material nature, and the conditioned souls are under the stringent rules of material nature. Unless one understands these bare facts, it is not possible to achieve peace in the world, either individually or collectively. These bare facts, once again, is that we are under the control of material energy, although we try to control it, but Lord Krishna is above it, as the Supreme Maheshwara, the Supreme Controller, and we need to understand this. The Lord is the master of material nature, and the conditioned souls are under the stringent rules of material nature. Unless one understands these bare facts, it is not possible to achieve peace in the world, either individually or collectively. This is the sense of Krishna consciousness. Sense means something like the feeling, the sense of Krishna consciousness. Lord Krishna is the supreme predominator, and all living entities, including the great demigods, are his subordinates. One can attain perfect peace only in complete Krishna consciousness. The fifth chapter is a practical explanation of Krishna consciousness, generally known as Karma Yoga. The question of mental speculation as to how Karma Yoga can give liberation is answered herewith. To work in Krishna consciousness is to work with a complete knowledge of the Lord as the predominator. Such work is not different from transcendental knowledge. Direct Krishna consciousness is Bhakti Yoga, and Jnana Yoga is a path leading to Bhakti Yoga. Krishna consciousness means to work in full knowledge of one's relationship with the Supreme Absolute. And the perfection of this consciousness is full knowledge of Krishna, or the Supreme Personality of Godhead. A pure soul is the eternal servant of God as his fragmental part and parcel. He comes into contact with Maya, illusion, due to the desire to lord it over Maya, and that is the cause of his many sufferings. As long as he is in contact with matter, he has to execute work in terms of material necessities. So as long as we are in this material world, some attention needs to be given to the material body and so on. Krishna consciousness, however, brings one into spiritual life, even while one is within the jurisdiction of matter, for it is an arousing of spiritual existence by practice in the material world. The more one is advanced, the more he is freed from the clutches of matter. The Lord is not partial toward anyone. Everything depends on one's practical performance of duties in Krishna consciousness, which helps one control the senses in every respect and conquer the influence of desire and anger. And one who stands fast in Krishna consciousness, controlling the above-mentioned passions, remains factually in the transcendental stage of Brahma Nirvana. The Eightfold Yoga mysticism is automatically practiced in Krishna consciousness because the ultimate purpose is served. There is a gradual process of elevation in the practice of Yam, Yam, Asan, Pranayam, Pratyahara, Dharana, Dhyana and Samadhi. But these only preface perfection by devotional service, which alone can award peace to the human being. It is the highest perfection of life. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Prasadine Nivashesha Shunyavari Askachyare Satarine Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nitananda Yadveta Garadhara Sivasadi Gaur Bhaktavindam Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare 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 Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. It was exactly 34 years ago when I was running very quickly through the town of Hamburg to reach train into the little suburb where I was living. And I had met the Hare Krishna devotees in a Rolling Stones concert earlier and was attracted. And I had seen them chanting on the roads of Hamburg and was afraid. I was attracted due to the transcendental sound vibration of the holy name which the devotees did at that concert. And I was afraid because I thought maybe one day I will become like them. So on that day, which has a lot to do with this verse, as you will see, I was trying to catch a train. And I was so focused on the train that I did not hear the devotees chanting in a Hamburg Dam Tor. When I heard them, I usually would make a circle around them as not to meet them and then continue undisturbed with my life. But this day, I couldn't make a circle around them. I bumped into one of them and both of us fell on the ground because I was running to catch the train. When I saw that I had run into a Hare Krishna devotee, I immediately jumped up to continue my race. But it happened to be a beautiful Hare Krishna Mataji. And I just didn't have the culture and nerve to not apologize and help her up. I had hurt her, so I brought her, helped her up, and then I excused myself and I have to get a train. But she said to me, "What kind of funny boy are you? You are so attracted to the devotees, but you always go around them. I have marked you since many months. You please find out what is Krishna consciousness so that you know what you are attracted and afraid of." So she gave me a Back to Godhead magazine. It looked very much like these early Back to Godheads which you see up there. Very, very alternatively printed. I mean the two second volumes. And I said, I have no money. I need my money to buy the ticket. Then she said, "I thought you were a revolutionary the way you're dressed. Can't you go for free? Not even for free on a train?" I said, this was a severe challenge to my integrity as a revolutionary. And I immediately gave her the money, took the magazine and ran to catch my train. Now, in that magazine, there was an article called The Peace Formula. The beginning of the article read like this: "A person in full consciousness of me, knowing me to be the ultimate beneficiary of all sacrifices and austerities, the Supreme Lord of all planets and demigods, and the benefactor and well-wisher of all living entities, attains peace from the pangs of material miseries." That's the peace formula. I thought, what? I have not understood one word of this. I'm very interested in peace, but what does this, all this have to do with peace? Yesterday I was talking with Kanamrita, who said that sometimes our language is difficult to understand without a bridge. So now, 34 years later, I'm sitting in Vrindavan talking about the same verse, which was the entry into my entry gate into Krishna consciousness. I didn't understand one word, but I decided nevertheless to join Krishna consciousness. And my dear devotees, as contradictory and anti-intellectual this might sound, it makes perfect sense. Because the holy scriptures carry a message which is alive and vibrant, which is beyond the capability of the intellect. When you meet a sadhu like Srila Prabhupada, in person or through his vani, his message, there is something which goes to your heart, not to the brain. Something which arises your Krishna consciousness, which is sleeping. You don't need to understand a key if you want to open a lock. In the same way, you don't need to understand, and you can never understand, the transcendental sound vibration which unlocks the lock of your ego, which has sealed your heart and closed your heart to Krishna's supernatural beauty. But when the message or the key enters that heart and you do not revolt against it, it will open. I remember the whole day in the it was only 2 hours in the train. I tried to read the article of Prabhupada called The Peace Formula and understand it. But I just couldn't penetrate it. Later, I went to my last resort, and here you have the Indian public, listeners have to forgive me, this is Western style. I went to the most undisturbed reading room, which is there in the Western world. This is the bathroom, because then no one disturbs you, and took that article with me and tried to severely analyze and understand it there, but even there it didn't work. I could not understand what Prabhupada said and what it had to do with peace. But I said, this is finally there's something I don't understand good. I know the truth is beyond me, because if I would know the truth, I wouldn't be so miserable. I felt some purity, some extraordinariness. So anyways, this is a little self-centered story, but I just wanted to say I'm so grateful that I sit today here amongst you, and I can say I do understand a little bit more about this verse today after 34 years. Now, let us quickly go through the verse. The verse says, in order to finally get peace, you need to have three elements intact in your life. You need to understand that it is Krishna whom you should satisfy, not yourself. The second thing is, you need to understand that the Supreme Lord, who rules all planets and all the mighty rulers of the planets, is Krishna. You need to think, oh, Krishna's in control, Krishna's mercy, Krishna's kripa. And you need to finally understand Krishna loves me. He is the well-wisher of all living entities. If you go through these three meditations each day, you will be peaceful. The first, once again, let me satisfy Lord Krishna with what I do. Let me not satisfy myself. The second, the Supreme Lord is the Supreme Controller. One devotee has written to me an extraordinary experience he made. He was in a little village of Braj, and he saw a person applying this principle and getting peace. It was a little boy called Kanu, who was working on this machine which makes the grass small so that the cows can eat it. You know this. How do we call this machine, Daru? Something we call it. That's what I understood you saying. Yes, that's true. So the boy got his hand into this machine, and his hand and arm was cut up till here. Imagine. He immediately had to be rushed to the hospital. And when he came out of the hospital 2 weeks later, he said, Radha's kripa. Krishna's kripa. Then under the control of Krishna. It must have some reason. The doctor told him, Kanu, you have lost your hand, we can't put it on. He was only 12 years old. You just learn what you did with your right hand, with your left hand, or with the, I don't know what hand was falling off. And you know, in the West, it takes maybe 2 years of intense psychological therapy to help someone overcome the trauma which is connected with losing a limb of the body. But this Brajbasi had no problem. He just understood Krishna's mercy. Krishna was under control. Yes. Everything is under Krishna's control. I lost my hand, so one hand is sufficient. Krishna's mercy. It was peaceful. If you can say to everything in your life, Krishna's mercy, okay, everything is done. The last thing is, which I will talk about today, is Krishna is the well-wisher of all living entities. Krishna means well. Krishna loves especially his devotees. Now for Krishna to say, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, for Krishna to say that anyone who wants peace needs to understand me. He must have a certain quality. Imagine anyone would come up, a demigod, a powerful personality, just and say, if you want peace, just connect with me. He would have to be someone very special to substantiate his claim. Now, Krishna is Rakta Loka. He is the enchanter of the world. It is him who can attract all of us, our love, and hold the love. Rupa Goswami says, the vessel means the container of the love of all people, is known by the wise as Rakta Loka, the enchanter of the world. Srila Prabhupada writes, any person who is very dear to people in general is called a popular man. Krishna is such a popular personality that anyone who comes in contact with his supernatural beauty and his beautiful qualities will become totally satisfied and enchanted. This is Krishna's special potency, that he is Rakta Loka. Anyone who has contact with him is totally enchanted. There is an illustration of this. The people of Dwaraka suffered a long time when Krishna was not in their midst. They felt actually like corpses. That means dead people or lish, the corpses, whose soul had left. They were all lying in Dwaraka on their beds and doing their activities like ghosts, until finally the day came where they heard the beautiful conchal of Lord Krishna before the town, announcing the arrival of their beloved Lord to Dwaraka. Lord Krishna was there before Dwaraka, blowing in his white Panchajanya conchal. And as the conchal touched his lips, and the air of the Lord went through the conchal became red, like the morning sun. And the Lord called his devotees with his conchal. Much more beautiful, obviously. And all these devotees who were previously like dead people lying on their beds in their room arose as if the body had become alive. And they went out, they rushed out. Some of them could not even dress properly in the hurry of the moment and of the excitement. And they went out before the gate of Lord of Dwaraka, and they said, O lotus-eyed Lord, whenever you go away to Mathura, Vrindavan, or Hastinapur to meet your friends and relatives, every moment of your absence seems like a million years. O infallible one, at that time our eyes become useless, as if bereft of the sun. My dear devotees, this is what happens when Krishna is absent from your life. It is almost as if the light goes out and you cannot see any longer what is right, what is wrong. The eyes, which previously were very useful to you to discern where is everyone sitting, where is the glass of water, where is maybe the food I wish to eat. These same eyes cannot tell you where are the people, where is the food which you wish to eat, where is even water. So when Lord Krishna is absent from our life, our eyes and our existence become useless, become like dead people. Prabhupada comments about this. The devotees of the Lord can see everything in true perspective due to the light disseminated by Lord Krishna. Therefore, it is necessary that we must always be in the sight of Lord Krishna so that we can see both ourselves and the Lord with his different energies. As we cannot see anything in the absence of the sun, so also we cannot see anything, including our own self, without the factual presence of the Lord. If you want to study this on your own reading time, please read in the Srimad Bhagavatam, 1st Canto, 11th chapter, text 9. But let us now please meditate about this. Just like you need the sun in order to see yourself and all and everything else, you need Krishna to understand yourself and other people. This is also very important when you form relationships. When in the relationships which you have, Krishna is a central point, you can see the other person. In this world, when there is a relationship, for instance, between man and woman, and there is a third person, this is a very tragic thing. It's the end of the relationship. Imagine husband and wife, and then there's another woman. The husband is secretly in love with the third person. This is a catastrophic. It leads to first marriage counsel and then divorce. So, in spiritual life, you need the third person in a relationship. You need Krishna's factual presence. You need to feel him. Krishna is just so very, very attractive that you look, when you look towards Lord Krishna, you look in the light of Lord Krishna, who shows everything to you, yourself and the other person. No? Like it says, the devotees of the Lord can see everything in true perspective due to the light disseminated by Lord Krishna. A similar incident where Krishna proves how he is just able to attract everyone occurred when Krishna entered the arena of sacrifice arranged by King Kamsa for his death. The whole of Mathura was present, demigods were present, sages were present to see Lord Krishna confronting the powerful wrestlers Shanura and Mustika in a wrestling match. In the West we have wrestling matches, Sugar Ray Candy against Joe Turner, and then they do they rip each other's ear off and so on and so forth. Sorry, this may be not a very pleasant analogy in Vrindavan. It was something like this, and they knew in the wrestling match there would be dead people, and there is a strange fascination of the human being with such violent sports. It is a strange fascination. That's why boxing is so popular even everywhere. So they waited for that little boy from Vrindavan. Kamsa had posted a huge intoxicated elephant before the gate of the arena, and you know they were all waiting for Krishna. All of a sudden they heard noise before the gates of the arena. The elephant went moo, moo, and a little later they saw Krishna holding a huge tooth of the elephant. What is it called? A tusk. And some beautiful blood was dripping from it. And Balaram also, coming like this. Now, usually this is a scene which is a ghastly scene. But Krishna's waves of beauty were permeating the arena. And everyone was charmed by that wonderful personality with a turban, with a with a mala around his neck, yellow dhoti, as he playfully and joyfully, sometimes skipping with his feet, ching, 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 entered the arena. And this was too much for everyone. Everyone just roared, Jai! Where's your sound? Jai! Jai! Glory, victory! The host of gods roared their mighty praises. Ooh, from the sky, everyone would hear. As Krishna entered, the gods were offering, demigods were offering flowers, and they roared. And the townspeople proclaimed their deep pleasure. Here is Krishna. Look at Krishna. And they said, who would not feel love for Hari in the land of love? So Srila Prabhupada writes, Krishna was a boy at that time, and all the sages offered their respectful blessings to him. Blessed be you, boy of beauty. The demigods who were present also began to offer beautiful prayers to Krishna. And the ladies and girls present expressed their joy from all corners of the arena. Woo! You know, in other words, there was no one in that particular place with whom Krishna was not very popular. This means Raktaloka, the enchanter of the world. And imagine, the whole atmosphere changed. They were all had come to see a violent sport, performed in the presence of Lord Krishna, of whom some of them had heard of Krishna. But when Krishna danced into the arena with the elephant tusk, everyone was just overwhelmed by his beauty. This is the example. And now, one form in which Krishna is also very popular. And here I will come to a part of the lecture which will hopefully satisfy the needs and the very sincere request of one of my listeners, is his holy names. Krishna is unlimitedly merciful so that he appears before his devotees in his holy name. And this holy name has been praised by the saints as Maduram, 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 very sweet. The effect of the holy name, I would like to tell you in a little poem which I was trying to conceive of. It is a poem following the purpose of Bhakti Vinod Thakur to the first verse of the Shikshastakam. Just as the gentle hands of the moon open the tenderly closed lotus flower, the gentle power of the mantra opens our closed hearts and allows God to take his residence on the throne of our hearts. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has said, when the moon rises, the night blooming lotus flower opens up almost by the invisible hands of the moon coming down to the lotus flower and just unfolding it leaf by leaf. So in the same way, Lord Krishna's holy name, as it enters our closed hearts, our covered hearts, has the potency to open up our hearts to the beauty of Lord Krishna. Why don't we always feel the sweetness of Lord Krishna? Why are we not amongst those who chant Jai, 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 victory, blessed be Lord Krishna? The reason is that somehow, by our material conditionings, we have become unnaturally closed for Krishna. It's almost as if the disease jaundice strikes the tongue, then any sweet will not taste sweet. So those who are covered by the material ignorance cannot enjoy Krishna's form and activities and Krishna's holy name. What is the medicine? The medicine against is the same as the medicine against jaundice. My dear devotees, I was once a jaundice patient in Kashmir. I was as yellow as an inhabitant of South China. Whenever I would go to the river to take a bath, people would just run away from me because I must have looked, and they would shout, "Boot! Boot!" Boot means ghost. I was very jaundice sick. And I didn't know what to do against it until one day one devotee said, the cure is you have to eat 5 kg of sugar a day. And you know, we are from the natural health department of Germany. We don't believe in sugar, especially not white sugar. But they said, yes, this is a cure. So we did it until the sugar cannons just shot through the jaundice, and we didn't taste the sugar any longer as bitter, but as sweet. Maybe it's bittersweet because our intelligence told us there will be other reactions from the sugar. So, anyways, this is what you also have to do when you taste Krishna's holy name and Krishna's activities as bitter. It's not that they are bitter. You are covered by illusion so that you can't experience the taste, just like the jaundice patient is covered by his disease and therefore is not able to taste the sugar. Continue hearing about Krishna. Continue chanting. Try even the medicine of extra rounds in your life. And you will see how by the potency of the Lord, something wonderful will happen. But there is another sugar in Vrindavan. The dust of Vrindavan, which is very powerful to give you taste. Said, Radha and Krishna are like two dolls of sugar. And when they meet, there is some meeting. And some, what happens when you rub sugar together? Powder sugar comes. So the dust of Vrindavan is the powder sugar of Radha and Krishna. And when you touch this dust in a humble way, throw yourself in the dust like Akrura, you will one day get attraction to Krishna by the power of that sweet dust. Once done, one god brother's mother attested to this. She came to kidnap her son from Vrindavan because the son was a teacher here and she thought he should be in New York. So she came with a kidnapping intent. But after staying only for 5 weeks, she went to her son and said, I hate to admit it, but I woke up chanting, singing Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. She had touched the dust of Vrindavan. And this is therapeutic. So when you go to the West, please take a little bag of dust with you, put it where your restless Western head is, and sleep on it, and then you will get some therapeutic medicine, hopefully, and get some taste. Somehow or other, but mostly the taste will come by hearing repeatedly about Lord Krishna and chanting. But the dust of Vrindavan is also very, very effective to give you taste for Krishna. We might ask, why isn't Krishna's Hare Krishna movement popular to all people in the world? If Krishna is Rakta Loka, so enchanting. There are two reasons which Prabhupada has given. One reason is the preachers have not done their work of explaining everything properly to the people. The other is that Krishna is popular with enlightened people, not with totally covered people. So it's half-half. The one reason is that the people are covered, the other reason is the preachers have not gone and awakened the people sufficiently. Krishna can only be seen with eyes of love. And I would like now to finish this little lecture and open up for questions by reading you from the chapter 7 of Krishna Bhavanamrita. Prabhupada said, any devotee who is interested to become absorbed in Krishna should read this book, Krishna Bhavanamrita. It's in Krishna book. And today I would like to read you from this to just show you how Krishna is loved and how Krishna is popular with his dear friends. It describes the morning hours when the dear friends of Krishna, who couldn't sleep the whole night, are dressed up by their mothers. They are very restless to now see Lord Krishna. Are you ready? First, we need to purify our consciousness for 30 seconds. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama. Rama Rama Hare Hare. Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama,
Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
The cowherd boys that were eager to go out to the pastures with Krishna told their mothers, "Oh mother, why do you keep me here for putting on my tilak and ornaments? What should I do? Why can't I get out of the house?" They're very impatient to meet Krishna, in other words. "All my friends are meeting with Krishna at this time of the morning. My friend Krishna, who is the ocean of love, waits for me, looking out for me to go with him to the forest." The mothers replied, "Vatsa, why are you so upset? I only have the tranquilizing protective stone left to put on your wrist. I don't hear the cows going out yet. It's not forenoon yet, and your friends haven't even left their homes. Why are you so restless to meet Krishna? If you go unornamented, you look like a beggar, and your friends, who have been decorated with jewels and golden ornaments, and who have been bathed by their mothers, will laugh at you." Even though their mothers were being naturally affectionate, the boys considered them impediments. When they heard even the slightest sound from the near road, they anxiously looked in that direction for their friends to come. Then Sudam, Kinkini, Subala, and other boys gathered together from different places, like the waves of an ocean reaching the Krishna shore. Then one cowherd man came and loudly said, "Listen, boys, King Nanda, who stays in the barn, says, let Achyuta happily sleep a little more. Don't awaken him so roughly. I'll personally let loose the cows. Just wait a minute and then go." Hearing this, all the cowherd boys joyfully joined King Nanda in the barn, while more intimate friends like Subal went up to see Krishna in his bedroom. Then the servant boys like Raktaka, Patraka and the rest, whose love for Krishna never decreases and who are expert in their service, came to Mother Yashoda, who gave one of them some gladdening sweetmeats for her son. "That boy kept the sweets in his wooden basket on his shoulder, considering these sweets as being more precious than billions of his own hearts." Because the sweets would give pleasure to Krishna. Another servant boy brought in a wonderful moonstone jug filled with camphor-scented water, covered by a wet crimson sheet. that was colored like his attachment to Krishna, covering the clear whole water of his mind that was outwardly manifest as matchless jewels of fortune. Another servant boy held a round crystal box filled with pen under his arm, a crystal box, as if he was wearing his favorite deity, the moon. Another servant carried many kinds of garments and ornaments for the Lord, which were like herbs that enchanted the demigoddess. And then it is described how Mother Yashoda gets Krishna ready to go for his cowherding pastime, and she says, "Why did you have to take birth in a family of cowherd boys? You are so sweet and so tender. You should not go out herding the cows. The stones and the thorns will prick your feet, darling son." Krishna said, "Mother, you do not know the forest of Vrindavan is swept every morning by the tails of the musk deer, so there are no pebbles and thorns. And mother, you must know that the trees who grow on the bank of the Yamuna give much more shade than here. It is more enjoyment in the forest of Vrindavan than here. Don't worry." So Mother Yashoda finally agrees to let her son leave for the forest, but only under the condition that every hour a servant who is informed by other servants where Krishna is at the moment brings some specially prepared sweets for Krishna so that he will not get hungry in the forest. And then finally Mother Yashoda, after this agreement is done, returns sadly to the village of Vrindavan. And it's described how all the Brajvasis who have to stay back in the village are really special people, because Krishna has taken their minds with them in the forest. So they are people without a mind. I don't know. It must feel like a great relief sometimes. It's for sure the greatest relief. So Krishna is really all attractive, and my dear devotees, allow yourself to become attracted to Krishna. Allow the holy names to break open that lock of ego which is in the heart, so that the holy name can unleash that dormant love. I want to end this lecture by saying to you, in the mood of a preacher, dear devotees, there is a God-shaped vacuum within our hearts. We only can fill that hole with Krishna. Nothing else closes the vacuum. And because Krishna is unlimitedly beautiful and unlimitedly merciful, if Krishna doesn't come into the heart and fills that vacuum, we will become unlimitedly exploitative to try to take the material world as a replacement for that unlimited personality, Shri Krishna. Peace is only possible if you understand that it is Krishna indeed who is meant to be the enjoyer of your activity. Peace is only possible if you understand that it is Krishna indeed who is the supreme controller of everything, even other planets and the residents thereon, what to speak of as puny earthlings and planet Earth. Peace will only come into your heart when you understand that although Krishna is so wonderful, he loves you. He has enough time. His telephone line is never occupied, as Prabhupada said. You just chant Hare Krishna. Okay, this is the end. I thank you very, very much for giving me the opportunity to speak in Vrindavan Dham about Lord Krishna. hopefully here and there there was something relative to your present situation. I want to now see if there are any questions. One moment. Yes? Do you have any questions? Usually devotees have questions of application. How do I apply this Krishna consciousness in my life to come to the promised results? This is a usual question of devotees. Or another question is, how can I get this taste in Krishna consciousness? It is really my constant question. So I have a question, which I will put to the lecturer. Sachinandan Swami. Now be realistic for a moment. How can someone attain the taste for Krishna? And it is a wonderful secret which we wish to reveal here. I will not be able to answer my own question. I will go to Bhaktivinoda Thakur. He has written a very, very relevant book which is available in the ISKCON, on the ISKCON market. It is called Bhajan Rahasya, and is a series of verses which are arranged in a very deeply meditative way. And there, Bhaktivinoda Thakur gives a series of six verses which are meant for those who want to obtain taste in their spiritual life. Taste, fascination. And the verses are all on humility. One verse, for instance, goes like this. O Ananta, unlimited Lord, I found myself drowning in the ocean of material life. I was calling out, is there anyone, please, who can help me from drowning? But no answer came. Then, my Lord, I saw that your safe lotus feet are the shore of this ocean of birth and death. Now, please take me to your lotus feet and save my life. Great humility, such verses are to be chanted. If you wish to learn them, I want to make now a little advertisement. You please buy the book Nam Rahasya. It is not available on the market at the present moment. It is just written and comes out in 3 months. When it comes out, Nam Rahasya, please purchase it in bulk quantities. There you will find how to obtain taste in the chanting of the holy name, Hare Krishna. All right, so at this moment I'm not able to let you go because I have a mountain of sweets and I need to distribute them before I go tomorrow. And I thought you are all worthy recipients with a good stomach for sweets. So, if there is no other question, then I would request Kanamrita to quickly sing a... There is one. Yes, Mataji? What is your good name?
It's
Parshada. Parshada.
As we grow and develop in our Krishna consciousness, how would we know in a practical way that Krishna loves us in our everyday devotional service?
Yes. How can we know that Krishna loves us in our practical day-to-day life? This is a very, very good question. Parshada, when I can't see anything, I must put on glasses. In the same way, if you cannot see how Krishna loves you, you need to put on the glasses of gratitude. Become grateful that you are in Vrindavan, for instance. Become grateful that you may chant the holy name. Become grateful that you eat that you can eat prasadam, not chicken tandoori. Many Indians eat that, I heard. Become just grateful for the wonderful possibilities which are given to you. This is one way. The vision of gratefulness, which is a quality which very quickly diminishes in the modern mind, helps you to see the benefits which you have in your life when you are grateful, when you train this. Another way to see that Krishna loves you is a very interesting way. It is when you feel satisfied in your life in devotional service. You should know that this satisfaction is there because of Krishna. I'm taking this point from a verse from the Bhagavatam, which says, when you have put water to the roots of the tree, all the leaves are nourished. So when the leaves are green and nice, you know the water has reached the root and has been consumed by the root. In the same way, when you feel happy in your life, you know that Krishna has been somehow satisfied and merciful to you. See, the leaves can never be green and nice without the mercy of the roots. Doesn't work. The Bhagavatam wants to make this example a little bit clearer, and therefore uses a second example. It says, just when you give food to the into the mouth, the stomach is nourished and satisfied. So in the same way, when you actually give your energies to Lord Krishna, and by his the slogan goes, when the stomach is satisfied, the whole body is immediately nourished. So when Krishna is satisfied by your activities, you will feel nourished in your life, and the nourishment is a sign that the Lord has been merciful to you. Whenever we feel happy, we should say, oh, my dear Lord Krishna, thank you very much for having given us another day, for having given us another sunrise, for having given us the sacred scriptures, and for nourishing us in so many ways. These are my two answers to your question. You can also know that Krishna is satisfied when his dear devotees are satisfied with you and showering their blessings upon you. Krishna in this world works through his devotees very often. So the devotees are something like the arms of Lord to show his pleasure and benefits to you. That's why we that's another way to see our that Krishna loves us. I am a very simple man, not very philosophical by nature. I think Krishna has given me prasadam, he must love me. Prasadam is the holy name, prasadam is so many things. Parvati Mataji.
Faith because we don't get a happy result, we should also know Krishna loves us.
when Parvati says, when we also when we feel unhappy, we should know Krishna loves us. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains that Krishna, by doing this, helps us to see, to just like an eye which is see made to see more clear when this biting eye ointment is put on it. I think in India we take this eye ointment and it bites a little bit, and then we can see much better afterwards. I remember I was in an Ayurvedic clinic trying to get away with my glasses. It didn't work, by the way. and they promised, if you take this eye ointment, so they put a wall around your eyes, you know, with chapati dough. And then they put this medicine on your eyes, and then you are supposed to open your eyes. And when you do it, do open it, you feel in the first moment as if two flaming spears have gone through your eyes, you know, and are piercing now the rest of your brain. It is intense. But afterwards, you see the world in new colors, in new shapes. Really, really, it's really good. So Krishna sometimes gives us this little treatment so that we can see a little better. In Braj they say, Radharani's mercy, many Brijbasis talk of Radha's mercy, is sometimes sweet like a cake and sometimes bitter like the leaves of neem tree. And everyone knows the bitter neem tree leaves serve a very important health function. When you eat bitter neem tree leaves, it is very good for your digestion, your overall well-being, and it is the most effective medicine against mosquitoes. When the mosquitoes, somehow they smell your blood, when they smell the neem leaves in it, they are saying no thank you, and they go somewhere else. But it does not taste so pleasant for everyone, neem trees, leaves. So in the they say when something not so nice happens, they acknowledge that also this is mercy. They say, today Radharani's mercy came to me as bitter neem tree leaves. They say like this in Vrindavan. Hare Krishna. Good. Our Gaurahari has arrived. I have some nice sweets for you. Please, you do like this when the devotees exit. They can take the sweets from you. Please, are not shy. Please eat the sweets in great quantities. We cannot carry them home. Thank you once again. And please do not forget, we can close with a quote of Srila Prabhupada. He said, our visit to the Dham means that we should engage ourselves more in the activities of hearing and chanting. Please make your visit perfect by especially concentrating here on hearing Lord Krishna's holy names and hearing from the scriptures. Reading is also a form of hearing. In this way, your life will be very nice. And we will end by having a guest today. She sings all over America. I would really request Kanamrita to not be shy, to come here, where the microphone is, and just sing a short bhajan for... I think it's you're not trying to sit here.
You tell me what to say on Krishna.
Yes, certainly. Just please stay. It will be only brief. I know that you have things to plan. Let me just. But those who have to leave can get this sweet from Gaurahari. I thought we arranged it like this, that you sit here and face the audience. That's much nicer.
Can you carry the harmonium, Bob?
Yes. Can you play not speed up? Yep. There's this little water here.
This is very warm.
Kanamrita was born in Krishna consciousness by her very glorious mother Kunti Devi, and she is presently, she has published a wonderful CD. I don't want to make advertisement here. And it's from Nubindar. It's reaching like a lioness. With her singing music.
I wasn't expecting to do this, so I'm not very prepared. But is the microphone on? No. Turn it on. Is it on now? No. It's on? Okay. I feel really lucky to be able to chant here. If any of you have noticed, on Srila Prabhupada's desk here, he wrote always with a picture of my deities in New Vrindavan, Radha Vrindavan Chandra. So it feels nice to sing for Vrindavan Chandra. I was going to sing maybe one of the songs that I did on my album, which is called Dasi. It's the prayers of all the women from Bhagavatam. But we don't have the papers, so we'll just maybe chant Govinda Jaya Jaya Gopala Jaya Jaya Radhara Manahari Govinda Jaya Jaya. And I've been fortunate enough to be allowed to sing for Radharaman every evening, so it's nice to chant this for them. Govinda Jaya Jaya Gopala Jaya Jaya. Bolo Govinda Jaya Jaya Gopala Jaya Jaya. Govinda Jaya Jaya Gopala Jaya Jaya. Govinda Jaya Jaya Gopala Jaya Jaya. Radha Ramana Hari Govinda Jaya Jaya. Radha Ramana Hari Govinda Jaya Jaya. Govinda Jaya Jaya Gopala Jaya Jaya. Govinda Jaya Jaya Gopala Jaya Jaya. Shri Radha Ramana Hari Govinda Jaya Jaya. Shri Radha Ramana Hari Govinda Jai Jai. Govind Jai Jai, Gopal Jai Jai, Radha Ramana Hari, Govind Jai Jai, Shri Govind Jai Jai. Gopal Jai Jai Radha Ramana Hari Govind Jai Jai Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Krishna Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Krishna. Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Radha Vrindavan Chandra Shri Radhe. Jaya Radha Vrindavan Chandra, Radha Vrindavan Chandra Shri Radhe. Krishna, 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 hey. Jai Krishna, 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 hey. Krishna, Keshava, Krishna, Keshava, Krishna, Keshava, Pahi Mam. O Krishna Keshava, Krishna Keshava, Krishna Keshava, Pahi Mam. O Rama Raghava, Rama Raghava, Rama Raghava, Rakshamam. Jai Rama Raghava, Rama Raghava, Rama Raghava, Rakshamam. O Krishna, 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 hey. O Krishna, 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 hey. O Krishna, 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 hey. O Krishna, 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 hey. Krishna, 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 hey. Jaya Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada, Jaya
Hare Krishna. So